Morning, Stephen. Looking at your notes this morning, the unbeatable team, as you put it, has been beaten in Toronto.
Yes, it's true. It is absolutely true. On their triumphal march to the Stanley Cup, a short detour on their triumphal march to the Stanley Cup. How's that?
Yeah, they got Buster Douglas last night at Scotiabank Arena.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was in terms of upsets of the century or the last century, whatever century that was in.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be on the list, right? That will be absolutely on the list.
Well, we were saying earlier this morning, the last time that the Flames, now they did it in a loss, but they kept Connor McDavid off the score sheet in a 2-1 loss. The next night, mm-hmm. he came back and was the best player that we've ever seen in a 5-point night. So we're a little apprehensive about celebrating too much or wondering about what's happened to Austin Matthews. Just don't let him go off for 5 tomorrow, and that'll be victory in and of itself.
Yeah, there's a funny, you know, like everybody's got injured players, Leafs have injured players, and this season has been, you know, odd, right? Like, there have been, you know, it's been hard to kind of handicap games night in and night out, and every team pretty much has had a crisis moment, and I'm glad I'm not a gambler. Even when it becomes legal, I won't be a gambler, but especially this year. But, you know, the Leafs minus some guys who have been important to them over the last little while, especially Jake Muzzin's been really good, and you know, Michael Hutchinson, they don't want to play him in goal at all. He gave up the soft goal early, and that kind of set the tone. But you know, the Flames did a great job of shutting down Matthews, and he is not, that is as shut down as he has been all year. You know, whatever, however you want to measure the season, the guy has been, he has been McDavid like this year. Cassie Campbell Pascal was on with Blair and I yesterday and said that she thought, now again, I don't want to, you know, I shouldn't paraphrase, but essentially she thought Austin Matthews at this moment was a more complete player than Connor McDavid, which set tongues a wagging here in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and in Edmonton as well. So, Stephen,
yeah, really?
Yeah,
perhaps you think maybe, yeah,
yeah, in Edmonton, yeah, they also had an opinion.
Yeah, Cassie lives where? She lives, oh, she lives in Calgary, doesn't she? Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, it's, yeah, that was, they took the steam out of that number one line for the Leafs last night, did a great job, and Riddick played really well, and, I assume they feel like they righted the ship. You know, whatever happens in the return match, it was a gritty kind of disciplined performance against, you know, a good team that might not have been at its absolute best. How's that?
Well, we said earlier, we'll take it. The Flames are going to take it because they've had opportunities to beat teams on nights when they looked beatable and didn't do it. So, yeah, if Muzzin's going to be out and if Matthews is going to be not quite at his best and you get the backup goalie, then you better win. And they did. So it's, you know, backslaps all around. Good job, guys. But there is you've also let some points slip away in games that you should have won. So take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, and it's going to be... Like, again, I'm not sure what the, like, I kind of change my mind every day on what the hierarchy is of the seventh. Well, I think I know who the seventh team are, in the Scotia North Division. And, you know, the Leafs did kind of, put some daylight between them and everybody else in first. But boy, oh boy, the rest of it, you know, it does kind of go week to week and game to game. Like, what are the Montreal Canadiens right now? I'm not sure. They were right there neck and neck for first place, built for the playoffs. Carey Price playing really well. You know, you don't want to play them in a best of seven, you know, and then they immediately went into crisis mode after losing the Leafs and the Senators back to back. So it's going to be a scramble for those four spots. So yeah, giving away points on nights when you can grab points, not a great idea in this, again, this very odd season. And I think I wonder about teams. You know, teams have been able to kind of regroup, like the Flames regrouped last night. But I wonder about, because of the structure of this season, because they're not, you know, you're playing the same teams over and over again. There's not almost no kind of off ice team bonding. You don't go off on a nice Florida road trip when things are bad and, you know, play a round of golf and, you know, try and get everybody's, you know, minds away from the rink for a little bit and create some chemistry. You sit in your hotel room and eat room service when you're on the road, I presume, right? Like, I'm not sure they can do anything else. And I kind of wonder about the emotional dynamic in a long season is normally that there are stretches when you're going to look lousy and stretches when you're not going to you know, be into it, or, you know, there's going to be dissent within a team or unhappiness with a coach. But there's ways to blow off steam. And I don't know how these guys blow off steam this year.
Well, this year, it's
from a human point of view. Yeah, go ahead, Rhett.
They're all in Canada, right? Like, you can't go. We talked about it yesterday. You don't go on an East Coast trip from Calgary and go into Carolina and Florida and kind of get lost. Every game is under the microscope nationally.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it?
It's going to kill us all. I think it's the end of the union here. Like,
yeah,
Commonwealth's done.
Oh, man. But, yeah, it's not like, again, it's not like they're wandering the streets of Toronto probably and having people, you know, heckle them or anything like that. Again, I assume they're locked in their kind of bubble, like non-bubble. But it's not like the foot doesn't lift off the gas very often this year, for sure.
I've heard it's not that fun.
Yeah, I'm guessing. Like, again, I this is where I have to do the disclaimer. There's a lot of stuff that's not fun right now. A lot of people have it worse than, you know, us or our hockey players. There's there's my socially responsible disclaimer. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you.
What would a loss to the Ottawa Senators? You've gone through this in the center of the universe. If the Flames were going to do that with, you know, five of their next six coming up after they're done with the Leafs against the Sens, what does that feel like? And do you have a particular riot tool that is your preferred method of inciting chaos?
Well, here's the current take. The current take on the Ottawa Senators is, if you let them get into a game, and if they get any kind of goaltending, which is not a given at all, they are a tough out, that they will play hard. They're not just rolling over. So, you know, it's not an absolute horrible disgrace if you lose a game to them. You know, you look at that Montreal game whatever night that was, Sunday. If you let them in the game and they start to believe and somebody stops a couple of shots in their net. But that said, if you're going to play them four, you better win three. You know, if you're going to play them five, you better win four. They're plucky and all of those things, but they're still worse than everybody else.
I'm not looking to get you hated in Edmonton or in Toronto.
No, don't. Please.
Where would you stack up the best players in the world right now? Because Matthews is on an incredible tear, 18 goals in 19 games. It's tremendous. But if you... what's the hierarchy for you?
Well, I talked to Cassia about this a little bit yesterday. Like, I'm completely impressed with Matthews. He's not just an offensive player. He's having, you know, the guy may well score 50 goals in this shortened season, but he's playing the whole ice. He's back checking. He's winning faceoffs. He's strong. He's physically strong, and he's asserting himself. You know, he's not just an offensive player, and there's some toughness there, which I'm not sure everybody knew existed. So the word complete that Cassie used is correct. He is playing a complete game right now. For me, Connor McDavid and what he can do is on a very short list historically. I don't know that there has been a guy who could do more physically as a hockey player in my lifetime other than Mario Lemieux. So that's, you know, it's rare air is what I'm saying. And, you know, if Austin Matthews approaches that in his career, he will be, you know, well, he may well be counted as the greatest Toronto Maple Leaf ever. You know, it's funny. Again, you look at their history. I know there's a lot of hot air has been expended talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs and their glorious history. You know, you may have noticed, but they never have the best player in hockey. Never. Like, they don't win hearts. They don't, you know, even when they were winning Stanley Cups, somebody else had the better player. There was never that individual guy, you know, like, you know, Matt Sundin certainly didn't win Stanley Cups. He might have been a top 10 guy in the league, you know, maybe top five. You know, Börje Salming certainly was one of the best defensemen in the league, but not an MVP, you know. And then, you know, Dave Keon or Frank Mihaljevic, or like, there's always somebody else. So they have never, in all of their history, have never had somebody who was in the debate as to whether or not they're the best player in hockey. And this, you know, I think this is the first time, you know, effectively the first time ever. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm probably not equipped to talk about whether Charlie Konecker was the best player in hockey in the 1930s. But, you know, when you get past him, there's not a lot of candidates. So
it's insane. So there's having territorial rights in Ontario and not, you know, how like somehow they screwed up Bobby Orr, right? And on and on.
Yeah, they turned down Bobby Orr, right? Yeah. They sent him a dismissive note up in Parry Sound and said, you know, get back to us, son, when you're a little bigger. That honest to God is true. So yeah, they owned Ontario the way the Habs owned French Canada. And yet they somehow managed not to. So, you know, it's a roundabout way of saying, I don't think he's Connor McDavid right now, but he's playing as well as anybody in the league right now. I think that's true. And now a league that is divided up in ways so that, you know, we don't see him playing against the Boston Bruins or, you know, some other teams who might have other ways to shut him down. It's just, you know, it's so hard to measure teams against other teams that they don't play.
We were also talking yesterday. What amazes me is his ability to score goals in different ways, whether it's on the rush, one time, in tight, gets it up in a hurry. So I don't know, is he the best goal scorer in the league right now? Because Pinder, who did you have in that category? It's hard to go with against McDavid, but just his shot and his goal scoring ability, I think it's a little bit beyond even Ovechkin right now. I think he's the best in the game at just scoring goals. I marvel at how he can do it in different ways.
He's got a crazy release. I think the comparison there in my mind would be like a guy like Mike Bossy, you know, who we don't talk about enough, considering how many goals he scored. You know, the guy only played 10 years, right? Unbelievable goal scorer. And he had that crazy release, you know, could just put the puck wherever he wanted to put it. And that's, you know, Matthews is really deceptive in terms of what he can do, you know, how quickly the puck moves and how befuddled goaltenders are about where it's going. So yeah, he's a natural. Yeah, you know, that's one of the things in his toolkit. He's got some other stuff too.
He's the product of a really weird developmental scenario. He wasn't on the traveling teams in Arizona. I don't know how much of that was skill versus finances, but there's such a shortage of ice when he was growing up in Greater Phoenix that they'd break the ice up into three portions. So he's playing 3-on-3 in tight spaces, Holker. And does that not look like a big man who's comfy in traffic, shooting the puck and moving it around people? Like Hockey Canada, when he went one, started changing how they train young hockey players in this country because of what they saw with this kid.
It is a crazy, you're right about that. Like the guy played in a converted warehouse, right? They didn't have he didn't play, you know, some of his kid hockey didn't play in a real rink. And then he played, he played in the Quebec City Pee Wee tournament for a Ukrainian team as an add-on because they didn't have leagues and he didn't have a team. And then of course, you know, went over to Europe and played his last year in Europe before coming to the NHL. So yeah, he is. Well, one thing, I think we're all getting used to the fact that the United States of America is producing a lot of hockey players. This will come, at some point become part of a nervous and fevered debate in Canada. You know, we'll probably have to have a royal commission, but look around. You know, we still produce hockey players, but look at the number of players that are coming out of the United States. Look at the growth of the game in a lot of places there. Now, you know, it's still behind football and basketball and, you know, probably still behind baseball. But that might be a debate in terms of player development in the U.S. But, you know, players are obviously coming from non-traditional places. You know, Matthews is a direct, and if you kind of trace the lineage, you know, Matthews' father became a hockey fan because Wayne Gretzky went to L.A. You know, so that's, you know, the impact of Gretzky going to L.A. starts to trickle down. And you end up with, you know, Matthews even more than somebody like Bobby Ryan, who played in Southern California, but whose family was from the East. You know, Auston Matthews is a direct product of Peter Pocklington trading Wayne Gretzky to Bruce McNall and the LA Kings. You know, there's the echo effect is direct and obvious, and it's all over the place. And never mind men's hockey, women's hockey. I know it's only a two-team race, but there's a chance that the Americans are going to dominate that two-team race as we go forward.
Where and how much of it do you think, in terms of Matthews and his ability and his success, is because of the mustache? Because not many people, like, again, he shoots it like not many can in tight spaces, and not many have gone to Movember, grown the stash, and then just kept it for an extended period of time. I don't know that it feels like the mustache is not the young man's. It's not for the, not the young man's thing anymore.
No, it speaks to a degree of confidence, though, and I have to say, right? Like, would, like I know I'm not sure if it's ironic or not. Is that an ironic mustache?
I don't know that it is. That's what I wonder.
I think it's just gorgeous.
I think it was for a while, but he's still rocking that thing.
Yeah, I think that takes some. See, I think that takes some guts to make that statement that I am going to grow a 1978 mustache. Is that right? Like, I'm trying to get the era right. When
I think
you
that's
know,
right.
That's yeah. right. In
when
the
some
wheelhouse.
Of us would have been trying to grow mustaches desperately.
Do you remember his GQ shoot? He was spent some non-traditional fashion choices.
And I don't know that he's good at growing the mustache. It's not luxurious. Like, Warner can grow one. He's got a lot of surface area, and pores per square inch is kind of the way we look at it. It's not thick and lush either. No.
Pores per square inch. PPSI.
I don't know. Is he single? Is he, like, is this the year to do
that's
it?
That's a
maybe?
Good question. Right? I don't know. I don't know what his status is. I'd have to check him on one of those social media platforms, I guess, to find out, wouldn't I? He's a bit mysterious that way, isn't he? I tip my cap to people who can pull that off. And, you know, if you're Austin Matthews, like, no one's going to laugh at his mustache, are they?
Well, and the thing with McDavid, he's more fair-haired, so he could try and grow one, but it's not going to be as obvious. This is light complexion, dark, dark facial hair that Matthews can pull off.
It's just that lip sweater right over the top. Of
It's the shaping, he's worked on it a bit. He's clearly doing some grooming there, some shaping. I think there's intent. But I think it could be ironic. But that's, you're right. If you're going to, you know, you can do ironic in Movember, but do you keep that going? Do you keep the joke going? So, you know, this, maybe he's out ahead of the rest of us. Maybe we will all have little lip caterpillars. Like, I've certainly had one in my life back in the day.
Well, I'm looking at one right now.
They were everywhere, yeah.
Warner has, as he's told you before, he has an article on his wall, and there is Stephen Brunt, The Game, from what... Is that Globe and Mail?
That would be Globe and Mail. Yeah. Yes, it would.
And it's more of a goatee than anything else, but
it
gets it's a little wispy below... Once you go south of the mouth-lip level, it gets a little thin, at least in this photo. But
the Van Dyke thing, right? There are a lot of goatees for a while. There was a goatee phase, right?
Your PPSI is strong. I think it's up there.
No,
it's rat level.
I can't grow the big beardy thing. You know,
no, but the mustache.
Like,
that's what we're talking
about. The upper lip. PPSI. Yeah.
Yeah, it took time. I had to cultivate that. It had to be, fertilized. Yeah.
It's rubbing Miracle-Gro in there every night before bed.
Exactly.
Well, it's something to look at, Steve. Again, the rematch coming up tomorrow. I don't know if you have any contributions. You're great at doing those essays. Maybe there's a mustache essay to be done.
I think that's. I think that there's possibilities there. Yeah. Let me get typing.
What was it? Achilles and all of that sort of thing. Maybe it's the mustache. So what the Flames need to do is go and find him somewhere, duct tape him up, and get that mustache off.
I think that's frowned upon in hockey now, I believe.
Oh, because of COVID?
No, because you're not supposed to tape people down and shave them.
Oh, I see. All right.
I want to ask one more question about that game last night, as far as the Leafs are concerned. And I just thought of it. I'm sorry. But Tkachuk absolutely levels Tavares.
Yep.
Not a peep out of the Leafs.
Well, I'm not sure who the peep would have come from,
But does that speak of issues? I mean, they've been unbelievable. You can't question how good that team has been.
That'd be Wayne Simmons territory, right, Stephen?
Yeah,
probably.
Wayne Simmons territory, maybe Muzzin territory, given his love of young Mr. Tkachuk. But those would be the guys, and neither of them were there last night. So, there would not have been a whole lot of grit in that lineup last night. And I don't know if it's a problem, if those two guys come back and they're healthy. It's not like the Leafs, that's how they're going to win hockey games. But there wouldn't have been a lot of that in that lineup last night for sure.
Well, I can't wait to talk. Imagine what we'll get into on Friday. I look forward to it already, Stephen. I look forward to it already. Well, have a great
facial hair for the CFL commissioner by Saturday.
That's right.
Sure.
I certainly hope so.
Thanks, Stephen.
See you, boys.